KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have cloudy skies. Temperature still 32 degrees. We look for some areas of fog this morning and a possibility of light snow, less than a half an inch altogether. Otherwise, cloudy and a high of 35. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. Well, we've heard for weeks about the high risk for more flooding in Iowa once the snow starts to melt this spring. But one forecaster says all that water in the soil may actually help to bring about a cooler summer. Doug Clark, the region's climate service director of the National Weather Service office in Kansas City, says the saturated soil will prevent much in the way of any rapid heating.
It's hard to get hot if we have a lot of soil moisture. So once the plants and things start growing and evapotranspirating, my famous word, once that starts happening more and more, yes, some of that moisture gets sucked out of the soils, but that moisture also goes into the air and makes it harder to warm up and keeps things relatively cool.
While some climate models are hinting at a very warm weather pattern developing by midsummer, Cluck says drought chances will stay low.
In some of those places that are super wet right now, chances of them going into a really bad drought are lower than normal, and chances of them having a hotter than normal summer are lower than normal as of right now as well.
Some Iowa communities have saw the flooding start last March with repeated levels of amounts of high water and throughout 2019. A number of residents in southwest Iowa in the Missouri River Valley haven't been able to return to their homes in some 10 months. Atlantic School District agriculture instructor and FFA advisor Eric Miller reports that five members of the Atlantic FFA and other FFA members from across Iowa converged this past Tuesday on the Iowa State Capitol in Des Moines to build character and promote citizenship, volunteerism, and patriotism. Atlantic FFA members Alyssa Derby, Tate Denbesty, Corey Pelzer, Taylor McCready, and Craig Allen Becker attended the event. About 560 high school students wearing blue corduroy from 87 schools flooded across the Iowa State Capitol building in Des Moines. Students visited with legislators, exhibited skills learned in the agriculture classroom, and learned the importance of citizenship. The event was all part of the 35th annual Iowa FFA Legislative Symposium and FFA Day at the Capitol. During the morning, FFA members heard from the Iowa Farm Bureau Federation President Craig Hill about the important roles young agriculturalists can play in the agriculture industry, and then Julie Kenny, Iowa Deputy Secretary of Agriculture, addressed students about the importance of agriculture in Iowa and abroad. Kelsey Terrell of the World Food Prize addressed students about the future of Iowa agriculture and the importance of being involved with statewide issues. Governor Kim Reynolds Tuesday presented and signed a FFA Week proclamation, thereby declaring February 22nd through the 29th as FFA Week in Iowa. The proclamation signing took place at the state capitol Tuesday afternoon with the Iowa FFA state officer team. After the event, Taylor McCready said she was glad that she took part in the event. She said that, "I thought it was a lot of fun, and it was a good opportunity for kids to meet with state representatives." 35th annual Iowa FFA Legislative Symposium and FFA Day at the Capitol was made possible with support from the Iowa Farm Bureau Federation through the Iowa FFA Foundation. This week, Representative Tom Moore, a Republican from Griswold, welcomed students involved in the Creston and Southwest Valley FFA programs to the Iowa House of Representatives. Students were visiting the Capitol for the Legislative Symposium, which, as I mentioned, is designed to build character and promote citizenship, volunteerism, and patriotism. Practical Farmers of Iowa will host several breakfast meetups across the state in February for fruit and vegetable farmers to meet others in their area and share tips and advice ahead of the 2020 growing season. One meetup will be specifically for cut flower farmers. All the meetups run from 9:30 until 11:30 a.m. and each is hosted by a farmer from the area. And during the gatherings, farmers will have time to discuss the upcoming season, challenges, opportunities, and ideas, and to network with other farmers over a cup of coffee and some breakfast. The events are free and open to all fruit, vegetable, and cut flower growers. In our area, the PFI breakfast meetup will be held Thursday, February 6th at Logan Flowers. That's at 305 East 7th Street in Logan, and the event is hosted by One Farms' Danelle Meyer. Participants do not have to be PFI members to attend. Reservations are appreciated but not required. You can reserve your place for specific meetups online at a link in the same story on the Ag and Outdoor page under the Programs tab at KJAN.com. For specific questions, you can contact Liz Colby, PFI Horticultural and Habitat Programs Manager at 515-232-5661. Officials of the Atlantic Area Chamber of Commerce on Thursday said that they were made aware of a woman who is calling area businesses, claiming to be an accountant out of Texas. She claims also to be calling on behalf of the Atlantic Area Chamber of Commerce and the Cass County Sheriff's Office. The caller asks for information regarding an expired credit card and is said to be very persistent. The chamber warns that this is not a legitimate call and business owners or managers should refrain from giving out any information. The number she was calling from, they said, was 817-395-1044. Authorities in Mills County report a woman wanted on Union County warrants was arrested late Wednesday evening. Mills County Sheriff's Office says 20-year-old Autumn Lynn Vandery was arrested on warrants for first-degree burglary and willful injury. Vandery was taken into custody at around 8 p.m. and was being held in Mills County Jail on a $35,000 bond. A Northwest Iowa man has pleaded guilty to reduced charges in the drunken driving death last year of his cousin. 39-year-old Derek Toll of Lamars pleaded guilty Thursday to vehicular homicide while driving recklessly and to operating while intoxicated, or OWI. In exchange, a more serious charge of vehicular homicide while driving intoxicated was dropped. Under the deal, Toll also agreed to an 11-year prison term. Authorities estimated he was traveling 90 miles per hour back on July 1st when he lost control of his car and struck a tree. His passenger, 37-year-old Ryan Toll of Struble, died 2 days later from injuries suffered in the crash. One person died, another was injured Thursday night when one semi-tractor trailer collided with another semi-tractor trailer on eastbound Interstate 80 in Dallas County. The State Patrol reports a truck driven by 36-year-old Felipe Durzo of Columbus Junction was traveling east on I-80 just past the Boonville exit when the vehicle rear-ended a 2020 Volvo semi. Durzo's semi then rolled onto its side into the ditch. He died at the scene. The accident happened at around 7:25 p.m. The driver of the other truck, 53-year-old Daryl Jones of Grovetown, Georgia, was transported by private vehicle to a hospital. A report on his condition was not available. The Iowa State Patrol is unveiling a squadron of drones which can help to minimize highway disruptions and provide quicker clearances of crash scenes. Troopers are incorporating a new small unmanned aircraft system into their technical crash investigation program. State Patrol Sergeant Alex Dinkler said their current technology does a good job of documenting a crash scene, but the drone system can do it faster.
Sometimes it could take several hours to investigate a crash scene. So as we are out there, if we're out there on the interstate and we have maybe the interstate shut down for several hours, we know that there's a lot of people that are affected by that. And so this new technology, once we become fully proficient with that, our hope is to maybe be able to map a crash scene in 20 to 30 minutes.
Dinkler says the pictures the drones take are all meshed together to create a 3D rendering of the crash scene to scale.
This takes only still pictures, and the still pictures are all activated by the pilot as they are flying it, taking the still pictures. And then all of those images, once they are loaded into our program behind the scenes, then all of those images are what we call stitched together. And so then they make kind of a big plot where they can be able to see all those images.
Trooper Mark Anderson of the patrol's Fort Dodge office is one of 8 full-time collision reconstructionists who are assigned to use the new technology. He says once he arrives at a crash scene, he can start documenting things.
If I can deploy it right away, I can take photographs while they're still working at the scene. It doesn't have to be emptied with the emergency personnel. So I can fly the scene, take my photographs from the air, we can get the vehicles removed, and clear the roadway to open it up for the public, which our main goal is to get everything back to normal as quick as possible.
Anderson says crash scene investigations have come a long way from using tape measures to now using drones.
Technology is awesome, and the end product is just spot on. The measurements we can do on the computer are just phenomenal. What we can do with the 3D model to show our county attorneys and our juries in a criminal setting what it looks like from drivers' perspectives is just that much better to help in court.
2 of the new drones will be implemented in each quadrant of the state. The news was brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.